Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's word is commiserate. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff to idea@wretched.org. I don't know if I mentioned this because, you know, I'm trying to keep it on the down low. Went to the John MacArthur Memorial. Did I share that? Yeah. And Paul Washer and I spent some time chatting, commiserating about preaching. That preaching in our circles has become so intellectualized that it entirely circumvents the entire man. It addresses the intellectual curiosity that so many of us possess when it comes to theology. But if it isn't affecting us in sanctification, in our battle for holiness, our affections and our emotions, our desires, even our instincts, then something's wrong. Then it's missing the mark. And that's something that I've observed for years, that we've overcorrected, frankly. We've gone from squishy, ooey-gooey, nothing pablum preaching to mere didactics that does indeed fill the head. But what does the filling of the head do if it's not affecting the heart? It puffs us up. Paul was lamenting on that too, by the way. And I don't think Paul never blanches at telling it as he sees it. So I don't think he'd be like, Friel, zip it. Don't share that. No, he was very, very concerned about the intellectual pride that he found to be very apparent in our conservative Bible teaching circles. And he was lamenting the fact that we are reading the Puritans wrong. And he started saying this, and I'm like, preach, brother, preach. Because for years we've been on about that here. We go to the Puritans because you're flipping through your TV, you see Joel Osteen, and you're like, I'll go read the Puritans. Just to kind of counter whatever it is that he's selling that week. And you go to the Puritans and you read this profound, deep theology and their use of Scripture, particularly their dipping into the Old Testament so amazingly. And we read that stuff and we go, yeah, good theology, good teaching. And Paul, I said what I think we've been saying here for years. Hold the phone, Henrietta. The Puritans weren't mere intellectuals. They were experiential in their faith. Experiential. Now, if you are one, this could be a test for you. If you are one who is wondering if you have allowed the faith to become more of an intellectual pursuit than anything else, you will know that if the word experiential bothered you. Because in your mind, you went, experiential. What is that like? Henry Blackaby experiencing God? You want us to do that? Okay. You might be one who has become perhaps a little bit intellectualized. Our faith is experiential. We know God. We know God, and God knows us. Now, I'm not saying that he's talking to us in our heads or giving us dreams and visions, but is it possible that our relationship with our Lord has become less familial than maybe it once was when you first got saved? Remember that? Remember the tears, the joy, this is so amazing. And that maybe, like the church in Ephesus, we've lost that a bit because we've been pursuing being the great discerners of the 21st century. And we've pursued lots of knowledge, but it hasn't translated into being experiential. Are you led by the Holy Spirit? That was another test, by the way. If you just went, oh, great, what? You want us to do like 6 hours of worship and have fire falling from the sky? Is that okay? That you might be one who's just turned Christianity into an intellectual pursuit. Our relationship with our God should be spirit-led. I'm not talking about liver shivers. But is your day led by the Spirit? Are you controlled by Him? And do you know it? Does your spirit testify with His spirit? Or has it become a bit dry? And Paul and I spent some time talking about this, and it's not to suggest that we suddenly become liberal, but maybe we've, to a degree, thrown out the baby with the bathwater, and we need a corrective. Now, not an overcorrective, but we could perhaps use a bit of a corrective because the Christian faith should be experiential. The Christianity, when you got saved, you weren't handed a clipboard. Or maybe these days, I guess, one of those laptop-y things, the tablet. What do they call the thing when you go to the doctor's office and now you have to hit the buttons with your pointer finger to put all your information in there?
The iPad?
Tablet?
iPad.
Okay, yeah. iPad, fine. Whatever. You put the information in there and then you get submit it. Your form has been accepted and off you go. No. No, you are invited into a relationship with God. That's your Romans 5, 1 and 2, Rex Sella. You're brought into this relationship. It's relational. Has that perhaps evaporated in your walk? Maybe it's time for you not to lose your intellect, but maybe, just maybe, to for a moment let down your intellectual guard to a degree and consider, is your faith affecting the totality of you? Is it merely intellectual, or is it also, not or, also experiential? 877-282-2337.
Let's stay in that realm just a little bit. This is a question from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a young adult and a serving member of a solid local church. Growing up, older people in my family weren't spiritual leaders. In fact, my parents and grandparents often came to me with biblical questions because they didn't know where to find the answers. I don't want to be proud or unteachable, but I'm not used to seeking guidance from others to learn spiritual things. How can I cultivate learning from godly people in my church?
Well, it's good that you recognize this. So I don't know where you're at in this progression, but here's where it starts. A recognition, you don't know it all. I don't know it all. If you're 20, you don't know as much as a 30-year-old. If you're a 30-year-old, you don't know as much as a 40-year-old, etc. We can all learn from somebody who is elder. And it starts with recognizing, I got stuff I need to learn. So I guess it starts with humility and a recognition that the Lord has put other people here before me and given them more wisdom because of more experience. It is something that they have gained over the years and the decades. And Solomon would tell you, you're a fool if you don't go looking for it. Go find it. Go look for somebody in your church who is wiser than you are, who is more experienced than you are, and let them disciple you. It should be organic. It doesn't need to be formulaic. Look, if you want to meet every Friday morning for Bible study, that's cool. But it should just be this organic, ongoing thing where you call and you talk and you go to a ball game and you talk about the game and the stats and your Savior and sanctification. That's being discipled by somebody, and it will benefit you simultaneously. You should then be looking to disciple somebody who is not as mature as you are because you have stuff that the Lord has taught you that they don't know. And so this is a two-way discipleship street. So good on you. Overcome that obstacle. And if that negative presentation of encouraging you to be humble and learn and not be a fool. Well, let me try a positive spin. How's about you going to grow? You're going to save yourself so much pain. You are going to make better decisions. You will expedite your advancement in the world, not just in sanctification, on the planet, because you're going to avoid the pitfalls that your peers have fallen into. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be wiser. So seek it and learn from them. There's two ways to learn. There's two ways to learn. From a knucklehead and who did it wrong, you can follow in their footsteps and be a knucklehead. Or You can heed the wisdom of somebody who's wise and says, don't do that. Do this instead. And then you don't have to make the dumb decision and experience it yourself. That's the two ways to learn. You can experience the fall, or you can avoid the fall by heeding wisdom. Should be a no-brainer. And yet, it's hard. And I think the book of Proverbs, I think, proves that, like a nail being banged repeatedly into a piece of wood. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Don't be a fool. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't listen to scoffers. Download wisdom from here. Listen to your parents. If you're not listening to your parents, I can safely proclaim you're a fool. And I don't mean that like I'm name calling. I'm just saying the Bible would say you're foolish because your parents, they got your back. Yes, I know that there are some genuinely toxic parents. Most are not. Most, especially if you've got Christian parents, they're godly and nobody loves you on the planet more. Nobody will have your back more. And nobody has learned more than your parents, especially regarding you. So be wise. Listen to mom and dad. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, he has no desire to break his promises. Since he is omnipotent, nothing can cause him to break promises. Since his promises are based on his eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark. never failing because he is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can thank Jimmy for this. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, it's a little bit dated, but I just found out, so it's fresh news to me in the entertainment world. The Swiftie is getting married.
She is.
To the football player?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a 50-year sort of model marriage. There's little question about that.
It's funny. I told my wife when she texted me and told me, I said, man, when did you ever think you would read that a professional NFL football player would be the one signing the prenup?
Right. She's a gazillionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were just sharing, because I didn't know about this. What is it, a week or two old? Whatever. Yeah. You were just telling me that women, grown women, are crying.
Oh yeah, they cry over her all the time for some reason.
Well, I cry when I hear her too, but I think it might not be for the same reason. What are they crying about? They wanted to marry her.
Just weird obsession. I don't understand.
She is wildly popular, and I don't get it either. Nevertheless, she is a monstrously big force. And guess what? In 50 years, nobody's going to remember her.
No.
You know, even Elvis has continued now 50 years in. I think they're, hey, I think it might even, is it today? I think the new Elvis movie is coming out. Do you remember that Baz Luhrmann or something? He's the one who made that Elvis movie, the biography piece, a year or two ago. And apparently he found all kinds of footage that hasn't been released. And he's put it together. It's called Epic. Epic. E-P-I-C. Elvis Presley in Concert. Okay, so he's enduring 50 years later. Anybody still going to a Chubby Checkers reunion? Anybody? No. Gone. And Chubby Checkers was huge. And I don't mean that about his person. I mean, he was a big deal. Nobody remembers. Jason was just sharing this with me. Okay. Sorry for this setup. But apparently the governor of Georgia walked into a restaurant where Vince Gill was having breakfast. And the older governor put his hand on the head of Vince Gill and he said, son, really enjoy your work, but you need to know something. The number of people that are going to attend your funeral will be determined by the weather that day. Poof. Well, then, there's a sobering word. And ain't it the truth? Right now, as we speak, for all I know, Jody Watley could be in a nursing home. She was hot. Just, the biggest hit in the planet in 1980s. Where is she right now? Who remembers? And this isn't to diss Jody Watley. I hope she had more than one hit. It's not to diss any celebrity. The point is we don't remember them. There are sitcom stars from the 70s and 80s that are currently in nursing home, and the people that are cleaning their bedpan have no idea who they are, nor do they care. And you say, well, this certainly turned dark. No, this became reality. Solomon was onto this. Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. It's a vapor. That's why we're to petition the Lord to teach us to number our days, that what we do here means nothing unless we're doing it for the Lord. What did Solomon say in, I think it's Ecclesiastes 2, maybe about verse 11? How can I enjoy a meal if I don't know the Lord? Nothing means anything without the Lord. You got the Lord, and then you scoot to the end of Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 say that here's the end. Here's the deal. Do everything for God. That's what brings meaning to life. Everything else, celebrity, financial gain, all gone. What lasts? What we do for the Lord. And so many young people, they want to pursue being a celebrity, to be an influencer. Means nothing. Go ahead. Name me one vice president from the 19th century. I'll wait here. Go ahead. Got one. How many presidents can you name from the 19th century? Because we don't care. Do you know that Teddy Roosevelt, he was Oh, wow. Was there a big legislative battle that he had? There was a super important piece of legislation. Do you want to know what it is? No, I can't tell you because nobody remembers. But it was a big deal. Big deal. Feels so important. It's not in the eternal scheme of things. What we do for the Lord is what matters. I think I'm going to be preaching on that in just a few moments. At the Cornerstone Conference, how do you love an unlovable world? That's the question that I will be seeking to answer. And I believe that the answer is we love the world by showing the same love that has been shown to us. That's what matters. Jesus is not building a century-bound kingdom. He's not building a terrestrial, earthly-bound kingdom. He's building an eternal spiritual kingdom. That's what he's about. Isn't that what he told the accusers? And Pontius Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. I got plenty of people who could fight you and take you down. But my kingdom is not of this world. We need to be about our master's business. Doesn't mean we disengage and become monks and forget about everything as if it has no temporary value. It does, but it's a drop in the cosmic bucket when it comes to something that endures. Your life can be more fulfilling than Taylor Swift can ever imagine. Unless she gets saved, Taylor Swift is not as satisfied and fulfilled as we should be as Christians. Why? No, we're not selling out stadiums. 60,000 people aren't coming to see us prance around in very inappropriate clothing, I might add. But the Lord's watching and the Lord's keeping tabs. And what we do for him lasts. That should change everything. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Joseph. Todd, I love video games. And I've been playing video games for most of my life. I'm 26, and I don't want to be doing this in my mid-30s and 40s.
Why not?
What can I replace?
Hold on a second. Why not? If it's okay in your 20s, what's wrong with doing it in your 30s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s? I'll answer that question when Jimmy finishes.
He says, what can I replace video games with that honors God? Do you have any advice?
Oh, I think I might, but permit me, if you don't mind, to move this from being a personal response to being a general call to all young men who are immersed in video world, because this dude is at least recognizing, hey, maybe I'm getting to the age where I need to put childish things behind and do stuff. And I would affirm that. In fact, but I would go a step further. I don't think you should wait till you're 35 to realize that seems a little untoward. Seems a little inappropriate. I would suggest to you 26, your past game playing years. I would even go so far to suggest as at 16, should be done with it. We need to remember that God gives us discretionary time. We can use it for amusements. So I don't want to say that all video games for all time are absolutely sinful. But there is a trend right now where young men are frittering away. I said frittering away their youthful years where they're strong and they can be contributing and learning so much. They're wasting their years sitting on a couch with a joystick. So let me talk to those guys, not the fellow who wrote in. It's time to play the man. Games are childish things. They have virtually no value. If you put down that joystick and you ran 3 miles and then came back to your house, that would be time better spent than mindlessly playing these games where your brain is getting chemically altered because of the electronics and the concentration and the whatever it is that you're doing in these games, which most likely lowers the image of human beings. You will get more benefit from physical exercise. How do I know? Because Paul didn't say physical exercise has no value. He said it has a little value. What has no value? For my money, playing a video game. Your thumbs, I guess, would be in good shape. Could you argue, well, my eye-hand coordination? Well, okay, if you're going to become a marksmith or some, you're going to shoot bow and arrow at the Olympics and you,
Marksman.
Well, see,
I don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is what you don't know.
Can you call him that anymore?
There. Yeah, that's right. You can't. Mark Bot. How's about that? Let's make it gender neutral. You probably don't need that eye-hand coordination. So go run around the block. It'll be better for you. Now you want to do something even better? Do spiritual things. Oh, the laundry list. Do spiritual things. How's about personally? Let's start there with the means of growth. Your Bible reading, your prayer life, fellowshipping, learning about your Savior, communing with your God. Those will profit you. How's about getting plugged into your local church, serving others, and doing important things, caring things, loving things, kind things. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be like Star Trek when they put it into warp speed, past your peers, because they're just playing games. Play the man. Do big things. Do important things. Do things, as Solomon would say, last forever. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.